We have the opportunity this week to learn Parshas Kedoshim. So like what we've done in the past, we'll briefly go over some of the major points of the Parsha, focusing on some of them a little bit deeper, and I encourage you, especially this week, especially with Parshas Kedoshim, one of the recommendations is take out the Chumash, and there's many mitzvos, as the Parshanim talk about, many mitzvos, as Rashi says in this week's Parsha, and to try and understand, in all of the Psukim, why certain mitzvos, we'll just touch on a few of them, but why certain mitzvos are next to other mitzvos, as my cousin likes to call it, neighbors. The fancy word is juxtaposition. But that's something something you could do on your own as you look through the parsha. Okay, just as an intro in general to Parsha's Kedoshim, before we even get into the first two psukim of what Kedoshim to you actually means, but when you look at the Parsha of Kedoshim, there are many mitzvos that are involved. And there is a theme to some of these mitzvahs, right? There's a theme that seems to appear over and over and over again. And that is, if you were to look at just the beginning parak yotes, kedoshim tiyu, ish imav aviv tirohu, al tifnoha alilim, don't look at avodah zarah, don't do certain things, honor your parents, fear your parents. What is the word that comes up over and over and over again? So for example, the pasuk says, al tifnu alilim, don't turn, it seems, to avodah zarah. V'lifnei iver lo sitei michshol. I don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Lo sisa b'fnei dal. Don't favor the rich or the poor when you face them in court. Al tifnu alavos. Don't turn to magic, sorcery. The word panim comes up over and over and over again. And the question is, what is the significance of this word panim? And why in this context of Kedusha does that word reappear? The word panim doesn't mean a face. A shayna punim doesn't just mean a nice face, but it means to turn, right? All of those things, don't turn to that thing. Al tifnu aha elilim. Don't turn to avodah zarah. Al tifnu alavos, to magic, to ghosts. Lo tisabif neidal, don't turn to the rich or the poor, to, you know, where perverse your judgment. It means to turn. But there is also a turn that is good. B'pnei seva takum v'darta p'nei zakin. The Torah is very clear. You know, when it comes to Parsha, there is a phrase called the Milah Mancha. The Milah Mancha means, is there a word that comes up over and over again that the Torah is telling you, this word, that is the focus of all of these psukim. The word panim really means to turn. What the Torah is telling us is that one of the approaches to achieving Kedusha, which obviously we all want to do, we want to achieve Kedusha, we want to have Kedusha in our lives, we want lives of holiness and of meaning and of ruchnius, it's a lot about how we turn. It's not only an elevated concept that we can't get to, that's only for the tzaddikim, but it involves the things that we do. And do I look for opportunities for Kedusha? L'fnei iver lo sitei michshol. When you encounter a blind person, maybe literally, or somebody who is weak, who is vulnerable, which way do I turn? Do I turn towards a positive role, an impact that I want to make, something that I want to do? Or do I turn the other way? I give bad advice and I'm not helpful, right? The lo tisabif neidal, when we face the rich and the poor, do we try to undermine the legal system by looking for ways to make the wrong thing, but maybe in our minds it's the right thing? It's all about this turn. Al tifnu ha'elilim. Who turns to avodah zarah? Meaning, don't we only want to turn to the Ribono Shel Olam, but maybe there's an easier path, a less difficult path, and I turn to that direction. Kedusha is about the turns that we make. Do we seek out those opportunities to be more involved? More involved in my religious life, more involved in my tzibor, more involved in my community, in my school, in my shul? Or do we turn the other way? Somebody else will do it. That learning thing, that sheer thing, that's not my thing, right? It's all about the turn that we make. They tell of the Rebbe of Prem Lashan that he would once ask his students, the pasuk says, Kirchog Mizrach Mimarav, that our sins are as far away as east is to west. So he would tell his students, how far is east to west? Right, so, they try to give all these answers. And as long as you just turn your body the right way, that's the turn that you need for Kedusha. In fact, we say this in Yom HaNarayim, even though it's not Yom HaNarayim time, although it's almost always Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time. We say, Tehashah Zos Shas Rachamim, right? This should be our time. The Chafetz Chaim explained the word Sha'ah, doesn't just mean time, it means turn. Right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Kayin's carbon and to Hevel's carbon, Sha'ah, Lo Sha'ah, it means to turn. That so much of our Kedusha and our real, you know, our growth and our Avodas Hashem is really about the turns that we make. Do we turn the right direction toward those opportunities, embracing them, taking advantage of them? Or do we turn the other way and ignore them? And maybe not only ignore them that we don't want to do them, but ignore that it could impact me because we don't want that in our lives. So that's the general idea as you approach Parshas Kedoshim. It's to see this word, panim, throughout the entire context of what it means to really achieve Kedusha. And on the area of Kedusha, just very briefly, you know, we hear that word all the time. Kedusha and holiness, and what exactly does it mean? So obviously, there's different ways to tackle this question, right? The Rambam, for example, in three different places, says that it means something else. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim explains that Kedoshim to you is emulating God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful and he's compassionate. Right? It's the idea of the halachta bidrachav, where when we emulate his ways, when we do good things, we help people, we're kind, we're considerate, we're compassionate, we make shiva calls, we do bikur cholim, those things, that's Ribono Sholem. So holiness is also in a sense of mimicking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem does all of those things. We should do all of those things as well. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam presents Kedoshim Tiyu as a little bit larger, right? It's a little bit larger. It's staying away from prohibitions. It's not doing Averos. It's the notch up, right? It's not necessarily, it's not a mitzvah necessarily. In fact, the Rambam, in terms of being listed in the Minyan HaMitzvos, because there is an element of refraining from certain things. And then later in the actual Mishnah Torah, in the Rambam's Helchos Tumas Ochlin, the Rambam there says that really righteous individuals refrain from certain things because removal from those things lead to Kedusha. So there's a lot to talk about and what the Rambam means. So, but they're each a layer of Kedusha. On the one hand, Kedusha is, I'm going to do good. I want to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem does good. I'm going to do good. And when I do those things, I am the halachta bidrachav, I am mimicking, I'm emulating, I'm copying Hashem. That's Kedusha. Kedoshim to you could also mean, the Rambam says, refraining from the Averos. It's not easy. It's a struggle. But there are things that we can't do. And even the Rambam says, you shouldn't say, I don't want to do it. You could say, I want it. I want to do it. And I desire to eat that thing. But I'm not going to because Hashem asked me not to. That's also Kedusha. That's also holiness. I have things in front of me. I'm not allowed to do them. Hashem's rules and Hashem's, our halachic system tells me that I can't. That's Kedoshim. And then the higher level, like what Mesillas Yesharim describes, is a way higher level of Kedusha. That's Kedusha that's, refraining from things that might be okay, refraining from things that really putting myself in the upper echelon of connection with the Ribono Sholam. That's Kedusha. Rashi, that's the Rambam's approach. Rashi's Kedoshim to you is different. It's actually distancing ourselves from Arayos, from forbidden relationships, from any Avera. That for any time that we find additional boundaries, that's Kedusha. There are boundaries to Arayos. So Rashi's approach is Parosh min Arayos, from those relationships, that's also Kedusha. Then you get the famous opinion of the Ramban. The Ramban's opinion is that Kedoshim Tiyu, and here he shares with us a phrase, is Novel Birishus HaTorah. I am a manuvel, meaning I am doing things that are inappropriate within the confines of halacha. Now, what this means is very simple, is that take drinking, for example, or take any act that is allowed, but do I abuse that act that's allowed? That's not kedoshim to you, right? You have to have a balance in our lives. You can't abuse the permissibility. But the Ramban repeats this idea over and over again, and he notes that it's an idea of lifnim mishuras hadin. But what I also believe the Ramban is getting at is that there is something that we call letter of the law and spirit of the law. So letter of the law is, the halacha says X. I need to follow X to get the mitzvah. Right? So, for example, let's take Kiddush. I can make Kiddush on 3.3 ounces, 5 ounces, whatever my Kiddush cup is. I got the mitzvah. If I went ahead and took I had a lot of Kiddush, and I had a 1,000-ounce cup, and I drank. And by the end of Kiddush, I'm drunk. Well, it's not usher. It wasn't one of the things the Torah says not to do. I didn't violate anything, but that's not spirit of the law. Right? So we can go about our lives in many areas and say, I didn't violate something, but that I experienced it in the right way. That's not so simple. And that's the truth for anything. You can have the same truth for Shabbos. You can go through an entire Shabbos, not violate any of the Lamatas Malachos. You didn't do Borer or Bishol or Losh or see any of it. But you also didn't sing Zmiros and learn extra Torah and go to davening and be more spirituality. And it's not usher. You didn't violate anything, but the spirit of Shabbos was supposed to be something that was elevated, right? So that's what the Ramban's approach to Kedoshim to you is in terms of what holiness means. So again, the Rambam views it in different layers, maybe just, you know, doing the right thing and helping others, then refraining from things I'm not supposed to do, and then maybe even some of those things that, putting myself really in a world of separation. Rashi, it's separating from Arayos, and the Ramban, that it's this idea of Novel Mirashus HaTorah, which really pushes us to live life and experience the world of mitzvos. But there is something interesting that happens as the Torah commands this first mitzvah. The Torah tells us, Daber kol adas b'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire Jewish people, and tell them, Kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Right? Tell them all of these things. And Rashi says that, after Rashi tells us there's a lot of mitzvos in this week's parasha, Rashi says that usually, right, there was a way that Rashi verse tells us that Parsha Zu Behakel, everybody heard this commandment. Meaning, when usually a mitzvah was given, there was a process. Moshe heard it, and then Aaron was taught it, and then his children, and then Shivim Zekenim, and eventually it makes its way out, right? Not like today, right? Today, everybody wants to share the information the quickest that they got it, to say, I was the first, I knew the first. But back in the day, we were a little bit more patient. We waited for Moshe to teach it, and then to Aaron. But here it's Daber Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Well, why specifically when it comes to Kiddusha do we have this unique, difference in how Halacha was transmitted? So Rabbi Eliel Mizrahi, one of the super commentators on Rashi, explains, we didn't want any mistakes in transmission. This was very, obviously everything is important, but we wanted everybody to hear it. But Rav Kleinim is Kamen Epstein, who is known as the Maor V'Shemesh, one of the Talmidim of the Melech of Lizhensk, says the following brilliant, beautiful idea. He says, there are two ways to live. If I wanted to live and not sin, like we said from the I don't want to sin. You can live by yourself. Go to the forest. Live in a shack. You will never say Lashon Hara. You'll be by yourself. But if you want to achieve Kedusha, holiness, real connection with Hashem, that needs an Adas B'nai Yisrael. That needs a community, right? It's not a coincidence that over the last many months, when we've had a closer connection with Jews around the world, and specifically, obviously, with Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, that we've also found a revolution of connection with the Ribono Shel Olam. The more Adas B'nei Yisrael are together, the more Kedusha that is able to create. And that's why he explains the Maor V'Shemesh, that Adas B'nei Yisrael, no. This mitzvah of Kedusha, a long time might be good, but you need a community in order to grow. They push you, they motivate you. You learn a lot from being as part of a community, not only being insulated into your own community, but learning from other parts of the community, which is a very important lesson that we all should learn. And if we're thinking, I know somebody that needs to learn that lesson, that they need to learn from other people, then we might be at fault as well. But we can all point to other people that should learn that lesson. But we also should learn that lesson. There's a lot that we can show. Never forget, there's a rabbi in Baltimore, Rabbi Wahlberg. He's a rabbi of Beth Tefillah for many, many years. And the Beth Tefillah is a unique shul. It was officially like an Orthodox shul, but it really wasn't intended by many Orthodox, maybe like in other Orthodox shuls. And one time he got up and he said that he loves the Charedim. And they're like, oh my gosh, rabbi. Like, we don't talk like that. And he loves them, and he explained that he loves their passion for Shabbos. That he loves how excited, he loves that when you're violating Shabbos, that also bothers them. So we might not learn everything from each other, but there are certain qualities of other people that we should learn and we should take into our own lives. But the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, or Moshe Al-Sheikh, who lived in Sfat in the 1500s, was a Rav, a Torah commentator, who was born in Turkey and moved to Sfat when he became a student of Yosef Karo. And his own students included Rav Chaim Vital and many others. So he explains the beautiful idea of Kedoshim to you, that we all have different roles. Okay, not everybody is a Kohen, not everybody is a Levi. And what the Kohen can do, the Levi and Yisrael, everybody's got different things. So when it comes to roles, it might be different. But in my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, the Kohen Gadol has no deeper connection with the... He might in the sense that he's in the Beis HaMikdash and learning the things and the representative, but I can have that role. I can have that same connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's Rabbi Akiva's message. Sfiras Omer is Rabbi Akiva's time. When the Rabbi Akiva tells us in the end of Masechta's Yuma that we all have that opportunity. And that's Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. Don't think that a Kedusha and achieving Kedusha and having that as part of my life, that is something relegated to a role that's way above me. That's not me. That's not who I am. I'm not able to do such a thing and therefore I can't do it. The idea of Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael is teaching us that Kedusha is very, very important and it can be achieved by everybody. Okay, so we'll move ahead a little bit. As you go through again this parasha, you find different things. The Torah continues about different things with karbanos, pigul, and nosar, not leaving things over and having the right mindset when you when you offer karbanos. And then the Torah tells us, just to harp on a few of them, lo seilech rachil ba'amecha lo samor adam reacha ani Hashem. Torah tells us you should not go ahead and spread rechilus, right? And spread lashon hara, right? Lo samod al dam riacha. Now, this is a very important idea. First of all, there are different levels of lashon hara, right? That's the most important thing to remember. There are different levels of lashon hara, right? There's avak lashon hara. There's rechilus. There's motzi shemra. There's different levels. But here, lo seilech rachil ba'amecha. So, what exactly does this mean? They would say that in ancient Greece, Socrates was held in very high esteem. So the story goes, obviously we don't know if these are all true. The story goes, they once asked Socrates, you know what I heard about your friend? So Socrates says, well, before you tell me anything, I have something called the triple filter test. What's a triple filter test? It's a filter number one, before you tell me anything about my friend, it might be a good idea to filter what you're going to say. The first filter is truth. Is this MS? Probably didn't say MS. But is this MS? Is what you were going to tell me truthful? So the Merc says, no, I heard about it. Fine. So you don't know if it's true. Second filter is goodness. Is what you're telling me, my friend, something good? On the contrary. Hold on, Socrates said. So you want to tell me something bad that you don't really know. You could pass it if the third test is, the third filter is usefulness. Is what you're sharing with me useful? Well, not really. Well, says Socrates, right? If you want to tell me that what's neither true, nor good, nor useful, then why tell it to me at all? And when it comes to Lashon Hara, this idea is really what we're talking about. There seem to be different clauses in Lashon Hara. Number one here in the pasuk is, I shouldn't say Lashon Hara. And I should not stand idly by, Ani Hashem. So what exactly is the connection here? So the Rambam in Hilchos Deos explains that if you say Lashon Hara, you're over on the losase of lo seile rachel ba'amecha. And that is a very, very bad sin. The Rambam Hilchos Deos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Aleph. V'goreim laharog nefashos rabos. And you are guilty of killing many, many people. What are we talking about? Killing? Not only killing, but killing reputations. When you share Lashon Hara, what happens when you share Lashon Hara? You've damaged somebody else. You've told somebody else. There are three people affected by Lashon Hara. The person who says it, the person who hears it, and the person upon whom it is said. Even though that person might not ever know that you said Lashon Hara about them, the fact that you said it, you've changed people's perception in their eyes. And you can never get it back. Very dangerous. We'll see in a second. Rashi explains that this is a context. Who are you hanging out with? And if you're hanging around by yourself, you're not going to talk Lashon Hara. Lo seile rachil means that, like, you're going. Sometimes we know Lashon Hara, we can't wait to share it. Right? The Ibn Ezra says, you shouldn't be hanging out with those people. They have blood on their hands. Don't hang out around them. Ani Hashem, I know your intention, Hashem says. Don't tell me, well, what can I do? Those are my friends. Pick better friends. Pick a better group. If your Shabbos table is only Lashon Hara, then find a different Shabbos table. Or find different, different groups. I can tell you, this Friday night, I have the great schus of hosting Rav Shechter Shlita. I do not think, I mean, generally, we try not to say any Lashon Hara, but you're on your best behavior when you're around one of the Gedolei Hador. We should always be on our best behavior. And if Ibn Ezra is saying that if the people you're hanging out with, that's all they want to talk about, so maybe better to choose other friends. The Netziv explains, the Netziv in his Eimek Dover, the Netziv has a commentary on the Chumash. It was actually a Parshish year that he gave in Velazhin. Not very highly attended, actually, but we benefited because we have all the notes. So the Netziv explains that a beautiful idea. He says if we get so wrapped up in this anti-Lashon Hara, we might not say what we need to. And there's a very important comment of the Netziv, is well known, that since the Pasuk says, Lo Selech Rachel Be'amecha, don't say Lashon Hara, and then it ends with Lo Samor Adam Re'acha, don't send idly by while your friend dies, says the Netziv, we're learned from here that sometimes you should say Lashon Hara. Sometimes you are obligated to say Lashon, and if you don't, it's considered murder. Ravaji Yosef has a tshuva where somebody asked him his friend was applying to be a bus driver in Israel, and he knew that his friend suffered from narcolepsy. But, you know, in Israel, I don't know, they didn't ask that question. In Israel, really all you need to be a bus driver is, can you breathe and look straight, right? So he asked Ravadja, what should he do? Absolutely. And if you don't tell the DMV, whatever it is, you're responsible for anything that happens. We found this in Shaduchim. There are calls that you might get as friends, we get as Rabbanim, right? Tell me something about this person. What are you? Very careful. Be very careful in the language we use, in the terminology we use. And like sometimes we say, the person says, well, are they a Baal Chesed? I don't know. Most people are going to be Baal Chesed. But you usually try to answer with examples, right? Are they nice? Are they nice? They're not an axe murderer, but right. But you also, if you don't know something factually, you can't say. But if you do know something and it's relevant and it could impact the shidduch, and yeah, you might have to say it. Now, when you say it, how you say it, at what date you say, all of that is our silos should discuss with your local Orthodox rabbi. But beyond just the negative of Lashon Hara, there's also a positive of Lashon Hara. But the Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky explained, you know, the Vilna Gaon says the Lashon Hara is the determining factor for your stake in Olam Haba. The determining factor of how much Olam Haba you get is Lashon Hara. And he mashal gives that if you get a very, very expensive wine, so you spend the next 3 days filling up the barrels, and you don't realize that there's a hole at the bottom of the barrel. So meanwhile, you've been filling it up, which is mitzvos, but really it's been leaving. So the Yaakov Kamenetsky explains that every major tragedy of Jewish history is the result of Lashon Hara. The Nachash, Yosef and Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he says, you know, when they say to him, are you going to kill us like you did the Egyptian, the Beis HaMikdash, it all comes down to Lashon Hara. But there's also something positive, right? We are now in the time of Sefiras HaOmer, when we focus on the words that we use. So Lashon Hara is not only that I shouldn't say, but I should say positive things about other people. I should want to say the right thing about others. I should want to be on the positive side of, instead of saying bad things about people, saying good things about people, especially during Sefiras HaOmer. So that's the whole Seilei Rach Me'amecha. You know, we end every davening in our Shmona Esrei, Elokai Netzor L'Shoni Me'ra. So which means, right, let's not only focus on my not saying Lashon Hara, but on not being someone who is a tsar. Tsar, like a mitzora, is very narrow. I got tsaras because I viewed you in a very narrow way. I heard something, I shared it, I said Lashon Hara. I might have known the whole story. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the details. I viewed you very narrowly. That's tsar. That's tsaras. That's a mitzora. Nelokai mitzor l'shoni meira. I want to be somebody who's open, who's embracing, who's welcoming. Okay. So we'll move on a little bit because there's a lot of relevant psukim. But, a little bit later we get the pasuk about, which is relevant to Sefiras HaOmer, and that is from V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. So the pasuk tells us, V'ahavta L'Reicha Kamocha, right? A person should love their friend like themselves. So what exactly does this mean? So there's a difference between Ahava and Kavod. right? Avon kavod. Kavod is an understanding. To honor someone means that when I see somebody has some unique quality that sets them apart, kavod is acknowledging that you have that, you have that difference. You're very, very special. The difference between love and respect is that love is based on the feelings that were one. Right? People marry each other because there's a kindred spirit between the two. People love their children because they see themselves as an extension of their children. We love fellow Jews because we have a connection. That's ahava, right? There's a love. Respect is based on the dignity of difference. I respect someone because I recognize that you're different, and that difference is very valuable to me. Now, can you have one without the other? Love without respect is overbearing, right? A person can love his children, but can ruin them by constantly trying to make them over to be more like them, right? That's true with anybody. It's true with children. It's true with spouses. It's true with anything, right? And then you can have one without the other. You can't really have kavod without ava. You can't really have ava without kavod. And maybe this is what the issue was of Sfiras Omer. Sfiras Omer is a time where we mourn the death of Akiva's Talmidim. And what happened? They were lo nagu kavod ze baze. Now they didn't love each other. It doesn't say they were lo ava. They didn't have enough kavod. Meaning, were they neglecting their... How could it be? Rabbi Akiva is the one who says, ve'ahavta l'reyecha kamocha. Love your friend. Love your neighbor. And yet here at these Talmidim, 24,000 students die. Because they didn't show enough kavod. So how could it be? Because they put too much emphasis on ava. And they failed to balance it with kavod. They loved each other, but they didn't respect each other. They loved each other, but they didn't see each other's individuality and differences. Right? And that's what Aaron Lichtenstein said, that there is a tendency by a zimun to say, chaverai nevarech. And Aaron once got up and he said, don't do that. It's very nice that everyone is your chaver. Everyone is your friend. Right? It's beautiful. It's a kibbutz. But ava must be tempered by kavod. By the recognition that you have certain malos to you. You have certain accomplishments, unique character traits, and special things. That makes you you and what makes me. And that's really the idea. And Rabbi Akiva's students, perhaps, they had an overabundance of ava. But they had a lack of kavod. And that's really why we're mourning, right? We mourn because they loved each other, but didn't respect each other enough. Something I think that we've learned in real time over the last many months. What does it mean to have a real kavod? Now, there's a beautiful story told about the Kleisenberger Rebbe. The Kleisenberger Rebbe lost his wife and 11 children in the Shoah, Rebbe Kisil Halberstam. He was once visiting Israel. Now, we know that Hasidim, they daven late. So they were visiting, they went to the Kosel, they went to the Kivrei Tzadikim, and they eventually got to the kever of Yehuda Bar Eloi. Yehuda Bar Eloi is the famous Tanner of Yehuda, compiled the Mishnah, and his opinion was that you do not daven mincha after plag. So they get there, and it's already after Shkia, and it's after sunset, but Chasidim daven late. So they daven late. And they finish mincha, and they're beginning to walk around, and 30 minutes later, he begins to burst out crying. He says, we have to come back tomorrow. They tell him, Rebbe, it's a very rigid schedule. It's an itinerary. Like, no, we got to come back. They come back to the kever the next day, 2 hours before Shkia. And he begins to daven mincha. He said, Rebbe, what are you doing? He says, listen, he finishes Shmoneh Esrei. My Mesorah might be to daven later. But I'm at the kever of Rebbe Yehuda Bar Eloi. How could I daven late yesterday? What chutzpah did I have? That's a lack of kavod, not a lack of ava. He loved the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda sure loved the Kleisenberger Rebbe. But you have to have a kavod, kavod zebaze. You have to be able to respect each other and to see in each other certain things that I don't yet, possess that I would like to. So that is on the piece of love. And I want to conclude in a minute with another idea of love. And not love in terms of fellow Jew, but love specifically when it comes to a ger. The pasuk tells us, "Kezrach mikem yelachem ager agar itchem." Just like the ger should be just like you, v'ahavta lo kamocha, and you should love him. Ki gerim eisem eretz Yisrael ani Hashem Elokecha. Right, you should love the convert. Right, and we are actually told this commandment many, many, many times. This commandment comes up 36 times. We are told, to love our, you know, to love the ger. Why? Why over and over and over again? So the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, Halacha Daled, explains that you fulfill two commandments. One is Va'avdel Recha Kamocha. We just learned that. And then Ahavas Ager. So it could be that we have a commandment for, because I get two mitzvahs. I get a mitzvah because he's Jewish. I get a mitzvah to love him. And I get a mitzvah on top of that to loving also just another Jew. The Rambam, though, in the Sefer HaMitzvos explains that it's a heightened state of love. It's a heightened state of love. Now, there's two ways to really understand this mitzvah. On the one hand, this mitzvah is a ger does not have a support system. Right? We, Baruch Hashem, we have, whether we have family, we have relatives, or we just have friends in the Jewish community, there is never a Jew that's left alone. We have a unique ability to make sure that every single person is taken care of whatever they need. I don't know that in other religions, there's people putting on WhatsApp status, anybody going from Chicago to Lakewood and can take a package for me, right? This is how we operate. We care for one another. We have chesed groups. We have gemachs. We are reaching out. We're having meals. I know as a rabbi, somebody calls me up an hour before Shabbat, says I'm visiting. I know there are people that I can call and say, can you host them? Without a doubt. I don't care. Come over. This is who we are. We look out for one another. It's a beautiful thing. It's v'hafta, right? V'hafta l'reicha kamocha. A ger does not have that. A ger comes and he might have, there are times that he's very, very severe situations. His family's not happy with him and he's leaving their religions. I've been involved with converts who are leaving devout Christian families and they're coming to our community. What do they have? They don't have the relative. They don't have the neighbor. Right? They also don't want to feel like a nebuch. Oh, yeah, yeah, the ger, we got to help them. They want to feel, if anything, a ger wants to feel mainstream, wants to feel part of the community, which they should. So we have to be overly conscious with a ger to make sure. So when I'm inviting out for meals, I'm inviting my X amount of people, I make sure I invite the ger, because I might not have thought about him. So the Torah tells us 36 times, don't forget about the ger. Remember how you felt in Mitzrayim? That's how the ger might feel. Make sure to reach out. Rav Gedalia Dov Shwartz, Chatzal Yad Avracha, would often, in our meetings about gerim, ensure that no process of a ger is completed until we know where they're living, who's having them for Shabbos meals, who their friends are. Are they in a position that they are going to not only succeed, but feel part of the community? And in fact, the CRC does tremendous work with, you know, trying to ensure that people post continue that connection. But we have to make sure that we know people in our community that we're looking out. That's the classic approach, the mitzvah of loving the ger. But Rav Huttner writes something very, very powerful. Rav Huttner writes that the goal of Avas HaGer is not only to ensure that they are supported because they don't have the same support system, but Avas HaGer because they're unbelievable. And I should want to put myself in a place to be around those. You know, we saw it earlier with Lashon Hara. If you have the wrong friends, find new ones. Avas HaGer is telling us, these are your friends. Go around people who have left everything, who have dropped it all, and who have found a beauty and a love and a warmth and an eslavos and an excitement by the things that we do over and over again. I have the great zchus of having worked with many people that have converted, and it just being involved in the Geirus Commission. The people that you meet are all inspiring. That whether it's because they tried out this religion and that religion, or they're leaving this behind and that behind, or because they view the beauty of a bracha. I've been making brachas my whole life. I probably say them too quickly, too much in rote. There they are. They love it. They're literally eating it up. And we should surround ourselves with those people because it will teach us something. We'll be motivated. We'll be inspired. We'll be uplifted in our own brachos, in our own benchings, in our own tefillah. Because here you have people, they weren't commanded from the beginning. They leaving other things behind. They maybe were searching for true meaning and they found it in Judaism. We spend a lot of time, maybe not you, but some Jews you might know, spend a lot of time complaining about this, complaining about that. Why is the halacha this way? Why is the halacha that way? Then you meet people, a lot of times people that are converting and saying, what a beauty. That's amazing. That's beautiful. That's uplifting. That's great. That's meaningful. Right? That's really what the goal should be of Avas HaGer. When we surround ourselves with those kind of people, we're seeing it now, not on the level necessarily of the ger's like willingness to undergo such difficulty, but I think we see pieces of this in what's been happening. I had a phone call with somebody this week who share with me that he's struggling with, like, wanting to do more and wanting to be more involved with the war in Israel and what else can he do. And because we see some of these people that are mamish sacrificing and saying, ah, I want to take a little bit of that to my own life. Maybe I can't do exactly what they're doing, but how can I be a better person? This is what we're seeing. So it's not necessarily Avas HaGer just for the Ger, but it's in general. Surrounding ourselves with growth-minded people, surrounding ourselves with a growth-minded community will help us continue to, you know, really continue to grow. So these are just some of the highlights of a Parsha Kedoshim, which really asks us to grow in our Kedusha. Number one of the things that we're not doing, to continue not to do them, but really to achieve Kedusha, both as members of a tzibor and part of a community, both in how we talk in the negative, but also making sure we talk in the positive. An understanding of kavod is as I respect you, and I want to gain from that respect, and I want to understand that even if I don't want to do what you're doing, I do value you, and I respect you. But also in the sense of loving someone to be a better person. And specifically the ger and people that are coming to Judaism, that are inspired, that are excited. I could just share one story. I really once had somebody who said that he had really tried to find the ultimate religion. He tried this and he tried that, like Yisro, literally like Yisro. And he never felt so at home in learning about it. And it was so inspiring to me because I use some of these things not even thinking. And to them, it's really something. So as we continue to, especially now with the war intensifying and we're trying to get back to that place of like a real desire to want to be better, you know, we see that putting ourselves in a Kedusha environment, in an environment of people that want to strive, that want to grow, that want to be better, that is ultimately how we'll affect so many pieces of our Kedusha.